What's up, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Pack a Punch with me, your host, Michael Lee. Feels great to get back and do another podcast again. Honestly, it's starting to get exciting, like during the week, thinking about these podcasts and thinking about the changes that I can make and all that stuff. There's tons of changes that I want to make. Honestly, I want to have it uploaded to different platforms, and I want to have, because Android unfortunately doesn't have any, like, way to listen to it yet. I want to make a website. I want to do more editing and be able to add like sound effects and intro music and stuff like that. Like, there's a lot of things that I want to do, definitely. But you know, with the time I got, unfortunately, I've been working a little steady lately. The place I just, you know, that I'm working at, they let go of two people. So I'm working a little more than usual, you know. Not complaining, though. It's awesome. Definitely happy that I'm getting the hours and all that stuff. So it's great. So as for today, any interesting headlines in my life? Pretty much, there was a like crazy little accident like down my road. I live in a town, so there's not much going on really. Usually, that gets like exciting, you know, headlines. But there, I guess this morning there was an accident by Timmy. Someone got T-boned, a Civic, I guess, and I don't know. Hopefully, everyone's all right. But it was crazy because actually a few days ago I was on my way back, driving home, and I seen that there was like a motorcycle accident as well. Like, it was crazy. So whoever's driving out there, you know, be safe and pay attention to, you know, the people around you. There's tons of kids and there's tons of, you know, bikers and, you know, moms, you know, pushing strollers and stuff, you know, so gotta be careful for sure. But yeah, as for that, I'm going through a job interview process myself, actually, in the second stage. It's for what I went to school for, which is power line technician. So, but it's for Toronto Hydro. So we'll see. I've had you know, three interviews so far. You know, over the time that I've been graduated, and, you know, it's been hard to get in. So, I mean, I'm not getting my hopes up, but I'm staying real with it. And, you know, just being grateful for what I have, you know. So I know things will work out, and it's all in timing. I just don't want to get stressed about it or think about it, like, you know, too much. I'm just going to let the pieces fall where they fall, but be prepared, you know, at the same time. So, we got tons and tons of things to talk about here. Let's get into the fights, shall we? So there is Bellator this weekend on Friday. This is going to be on tape delay, and I believe it starts at 9 o'clock. Yeah, I believe it's 9 o'clock on Friday. On the Paramount Network. It's happening in London, England, at the Wembley Arena. So we'll talk about this one like a little quickly because, I mean, the UFC is the main event pretty much for this weekend. But those guys in London, England, they get a treat this weekend because they have Bellator on Friday, and they have their big, I guess, huge soccer, or shall they say football over there, game on Saturday. I don't watch any soccer myself, so I can't really talk much about that. But yeah, no, they're having that, and then they'll have the UFC on Sunday, which is crazy, a rare kind of Sunday card that the UFC is having. For us, it's going to be an early card. But for them, it's, you know, going to be right around their normal time that they usually like to do their thing. It should be normal time. Like, in the evening. But yeah, let's break down the Bellator card since it's taking place on Friday, which is in chronological order. Let's do it. So yeah, unfortunately, this was supposed to be headlined by Mirko Krokop and Roy Nelson, but Mirko unfortunately had to pull out due to an injury. So unfortunately, that fight never got another it never had another person to take that spot. So we're stuck. Well, not stuck, but we are taking that, and we're replacing the fight completely with Carvalho versus Musasi. So Rafael Carvalho versus Gegard Musasi. Yeah, honestly, it kind of butchers this whole thing because it's gonna be one. This is Bellator 200. They just came to Paramount Network not long ago. Probably, I would say it feels like 3 months ago that they just started that they switched over from Spike to Paramount, which was supposed to be kind of like a big thing. Pretty much kind of like from Spike to Fox in a way. Not that big, but it was supposed to be like kind of a bigger shift, you know what I mean? More money and all that stuff. Viacom, and all that stuff. So yeah, it kind of sucks because it's on tape delay and they never promoted it enough. If I feel like there wasn't a lot of promotion on Mirko Krokop versus Nelson. Like out of 10, I would probably say it was on the radar about a 3. And now that this Rafael Carvalho versus Gegard Mousasi is on the table as a replacement, it's like now we got 2 days to be like excited about it, to get the word out and to promote it. It's like what? Like as a hardcore fan, yeah, I'm excited. Because Carvalho is the champ. I personally have been watching Bellator not as like I mean I've definitely watched Bellator like but I don't know. I kind of started watching Bellator a little later than UFC. So I would probably say I've been watching Bellator for probably about like a year and a half now. So I mean that's my background on that. So, I mean, I'm not quite sure if I've seen Rafael actually fight. I'm just gonna check and see who his last Sakura was his last fight at Bellator 190 last year, 2017. So yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen that fight, but it's like I was getting used to trying to like figure out faces with different fighters at that point in Bellator. So he hasn't fought since then. So, and that fight didn't last long at all. He defended it in 44 seconds with a KO punch and elbow. So, I mean, but respectable, Rafael Carvalho has been a champ I mean, 3 defenses. He won it and then he had 3 defenses. So it's pretty, respectable so far. And if he can get this win off, Gegard Mousasi, then that's a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's not a small deal. It's a big deal because Gegard has proven himself over multiple organizations. Over like the guy's had over 50 fights. He's had 51 fights, and I mean, he's on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 fight win streak. So he's bringing money. He's bringing a lot of confidence. He's bringing a lot of he's bringing a lot of pressure to Rafael Carvalho. It's gonna be his toughest test, I think. Like Carvalho's toughest test, it really will be. But the thing is, like Gegard's last fight against Shlemenko, he had a broken orbital bone in that fight, like early on in that fight. And if you guys can remember, if you watched it, he was like, trying to survive after round two and round three. And it was kind of a controversial decision, but it ended up going in Gegard's favor as unanimous, even though it could have been like a split or even the other way. But yeah, I mean, honestly, like I'm gonna go with Musashi on this one. But if Carvello can, actually defend this, then okay. You are respectable as shit, man. That means like you could, when you become a free agent eventually, like, the UFC will actually, they'll probably want you even more, if you get that win over Musashi, for sure. So the next fight is Michael Venom Page versus Dave Rickles, which, yeah, Michael Venom Page, he's definitely a kickboxer, karate style, kung fu style, fighter. Yeah, in the welterweight division, it's, he's a good fighter. I don't know if he's overrated. A lot of people hype on him a lot. He's undefeated, 12 and 0, seven knockouts and stuff like that. His most three recent fights, Gonzalez, he got a split decision over, which that was in 2016. So I don't think I've actually watched this guy fight. I might have watched it. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know. It's hard to say. But like from what Paul Daly says, he shits on that fight. He says that, he shouldn't have won that fight. But that was his toughest test. And he beat a bunch of other guys. The guy before that was Evangelista Santos, which, no, not quite sure. Excuse me. But yeah, like this is his toughest test when he's facing Dave Rickles, because Dave Rickles, he's kind of well-rounded, He's 19-4. He's got some good wins. His last win was over Adam Piccolotti. He went to what was it? Who else has he beat? He beat Saad Awad. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like he can get over that, like the top competition at Bellator, unfortunately. Like he's been a Bellator guy since Bellator 53, which is 7 years, which is pretty, oh. Yeah, since Bellator 40. What am I saying? My bad. So, yeah, still 7 years old, but I mean, he's lost against Patrycki, Friera. He got knocked out, unfortunately, against Melvin Gillard, except Melvin tested positive for a banned substance. And he lost to Michael Chandler twice, which is unfortunate. So, that kind of can show you where he's at in a way. He's not like top competition, but he can hang. But he's a Muay Thai fighter. But he's also got some good takedown defense, as well as he's got some good he can take down as well. He can he's a good takedown like he wrestled in high school. But nothing in college or anything like that. So he can kind of do a little bit, I guess. So I'm probably gonna go with Michael Page on that one, unfortunately, for Dave Rickles, because Dave Rickles, he's young, but if he can't, like, I think MVP is a he's a top competition. He really is. Even though he hasn't faced like the top competition yet, I still think he's a special talent, and I think that Dave Rickles is a good fighter, and it will be a very respectable name on his resume type of thing. And I liked the little weigh-in thing that they had there. My MVP was putting his arm, kind of like in a salute a little bit, except like he was just raising it higher and higher. You just kind of showing like he's way above his level, you know what I mean? And then Dave Rickles just goes and like As MVP's raising his arm, Dave Rickles just goes and takes, pretends to like rip his heart out and like puts it in the air and stuff. It was kind of cool. I liked it. So I think Dave won that little battle on the stair down there. And then Phil Davis versus Linton Vassell. That's yeah, it's a good fight. I'm not quite sure if they fought before. I feel like they might have. No, they haven't. Okay. Yeah. This is gonna be a good little fight. Yeah, because Linton Vassell's been in the UFC or in the Bellator for a while, and you know, so has Phil Davis. So it's about time that these guys bang it out. So I mean, Phil Davis, he's a wrestler, Mr. Wonderful, NCAA, Division One. He's very, very good with his wrestling. Like he's. It's beautiful to watch, like when he was fighting Ryan Bader for that fight. You know, they were both really like mixing it up really well. A lot of people didn't really like it that much, but I enjoyed it. And yeah, same with his last fight. I'm not quite as familiar with his last person he defeated, which was Leonardo Leite. I did watch it, but yeah, he displayed a good. You know, level of wrestling along with some striking as well. So, he's a his striking could be better and stuff. Like I feel like, and his ground and pound could be much better. But he's beautiful at getting them to the ground and you know holding them to the ground and getting through the you know winning those scrambles and those little. He's really good at chain wrestling. Like he's just he's all around. That's his department. And Linton Vassell, on the other hand, this guy is, you know, he's kind of well rounded around, you know, he's kind of well rounded a little bit as well. You know, he's got like 16 wins, 8 losses, and, you know, six by a knockout, 8 by submission, and 4 by decision. So, I mean, he lost against Ryan Bader, which was Ryan Bader's first, title defense. So he got knocked out, unfortunately. And you know, he looked all right in that fight, I'm not gonna lie. But before Ryan, he was on a 3-fight win streak. So this is gonna be a good scrabble. I'm gonna like it. Like I'm definitely gonna enjoy this fight. I think it's gonna be very competitive, to be honest. Who do I see winning it? Like, that's the thing. Like with Phil Davis, he's a decision king. Like 18 wins, 4 losses, which is super respectable, but 10 by decision. So, I mean, who's more dangerous in this fight? I would say that Linton is for sure. But Phil Davis, it's going to be a matter of can Linton stop the takedown. That's really what it is. And when he's on the ground, is there a possible way because Phil will bring him to the ground, but is there a way that can he win a little bit of the grappling exchanges? Can he submit him, you know, while he's on the ground? Can he, you know, what can he knock him out? Because he's still got a little bit of that power, you know. So, his last knockout wasn't, you know, too recent, but you know, 2015. But he still does have power compared to, you know, Phil Davis, who. Yeah, he's knocked out someone in 2015 as well. So, but that was like his only knockout since pretty much, you know, 2009, which is crazy. Wow. So, yeah, I mean, I'm gonna say this probably is gonna go to decision. If not, it's probably gonna be by it might be a submission by Linton Vassell. So Aaron Chalmers versus Ash Griffiths. Not too familiar on these guys. It looks like they're both like young fighters, amateurs, just trying to, you know, they're trying to just display the talent. It's a catch weight, so someone missed weight here. Who knows? I'll go Aaron Chalmers because Ash Griffiths doesn't have WikiLink, and then Anastasia Yankova. This girl, is that Russian girl, and I've seen her fight a few times on seen her at Bellator 176, April 8th, 2017. She's kind of like that hot, like Russian chick, you know, like I don't know. It's like she's I don't know. I don't know what they're doing at like she it's a flyweight. She's a bigger flyweight, but and she's really young in the game too, so you can't really see much. She's only 5-0, so versus Kay Jackson, so I'll go Yanikova. But that wraps it up there for the Bellator card. There's tons of fights below that on the ParamountNetwork.com. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10. Holy jeez, man. There's 10 fights on the undercard. Oh. No one will see you besides the people there, unfortunately. Well, I don't know if it'll be like such a small amount. The hardcores of the hardcores will tune into the Paramount Network. I unfortunately won't. The ParamountNetwork.com, that is. So, next, we'll go right into the UFC. Thompson versus Till. Oh, started. It's May 27th, 2018. It's at the Echo Arena in Liverpool, England. It's supposed to take place in Dublin, but it was changed to Liverpool. It's the first time in Liverpool. Gunnar Nelson was supposed to fight on this card versus Neil Magny, but he had a knee injury, so Mr. Craig White fills in. So, yeah, Mr. Craig White. Supposedly he's pretty good from what we hear on the regional scene, but well, yeah, I mean, you must be if you're just coming in to fight Neil Magny. Like Neil Magny is ranked. Let's take a look at what is Neil Magny ranked? 9. So you're going from unranked, coming off the regional scene into, you know, Neil Magny's territory. So it's gonna be a great fight to see a prospect that there must be a lot of hype on. So and Dana must love him since his last name's White. So, yeah. Let's initial impressions and ratings on this. I'd probably say that I'm super stoked. Out of 10, I'm feeling like it's an 8.5, because like there's a lot of like for the main event, the whole card is probably it's about an 8.5 because I'm excited for a few names on here. It's a free card. It's a Sunday card, so you don't have to stay up all night. It's like these the talent on here, like Stephen Thompson usually fights, you know, on pay-per-view. You know, his last few you know fights have been on pay-per-view. He usually does, you know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know, 9 fights on pay-per-view. Most of his career has been on pay-per-view, so he's only had 3 fights that weren't on pay-per-view, and they were, you know, headliners just like Thompson versus Till. So this is a big deal, you know, like to see like such a good talent for free. And same like Darren Till is that guy that's, you know, just on. There's tons of hype. You know, we're uncertain. We don't know. There's tons of unknowns. You know, like what's he gonna do? How is he gonna react? This is his first main event. Like it's cool. I feel like there's a lot of buzz. I feel like there's a ton of buzz, to be honest, on this. Everyone's excited. I feel like there's you know, I think a lot of people will be able to watch it since it's during a prime time. You know, it's during a good time. You know, because Well, the fight pass prelims start at 10 o'clock. The prelims start at 11, and the main card starts at 1. So I mean, those people, like, it's an afternoon. You have nothing else to do on a Sunday. You're gonna tune into the fights at 1 o'clock. You know what I mean? You're definitely going to. So there's gonna be tons of eyes on the casual, from the casual audience on this fight. So this is gonna be big for, kind of making a star. Because, like, I find it actually ridiculous that they always decide to have cards run so late. Like, no one sees. It makes a, like, it's different when you're going and paying for it. Like, if you're buying a pay-per-view, it's like buying a movie at a movie theater, like going and buying an admission ticket. You're like, okay, well, I paid my money. I'm gonna watch the whole thing because I paid my money. Like, unless you get super tired and you're like, I don't know, like, if it's worth staying the little bit longer of the movie or watching the little bit left of the fight before I fall asleep or whatever. But you usually, battle it out and say, yeah, I want to get my money's worth. You know what I mean? So, like, it's different with those paid cards because people usually stay up. But when it comes to those, like, free fight night cards, ending at like 12:30, 1 o'clock. You retard, like, it's ridiculous, man. Like, I hate staying up so late, man. Like, I can't do it. I really can't do it. Not all the time. There's no way. Like, I have to though. You know what I mean? Like, I enjoy it, but like, I don't enjoy it as much as I don't enjoy it as much as I enjoy these Sunday cards, is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? Like, these Sunday cards are just so much more convenient. It's easier on my sleep schedule. Honestly, like, it's killing it. Everyone having these late cards, no one likes it, man. The hardcores, we stay up. We have to, because we want to talk about it. We want to, share it with others. We want to, like, we love it. We love the drama that happens afterwards. What's next? And, like, we want to hear everything, so it's just like, come on. Like, I hope ESPN has earlier cards, you know what I mean? Like, because that's when the casuals, that's when most people watch, literally, is you hockey games. Most people are watching hockey games at 7 to 9. Most people are watching basketball games 8 to 10. Sometimes 11, like, sometimes there are 10 to 12 games, but it's just like, man, you gotta get earlier cards. You really do. And that's why I feel like an 8.5 is pretty good for this card, just the way it is. It's nice. Also, on the other hand, think about it like this. Like, we're getting another card next week on Saturday, another fight night. So you're only technically waiting 6 days before another fight. So, like, people are bitching about oversaturation and shit, but I love this shit, man. I love watching fights, man. I can't get enough of it. So, yeah, we better get into this. So, let's get into it. Stephen Thompson, American kickboxer, karate style fighter. This guy, he's reliable. What can we say? He's proven himself. Time and time again, time and time again. He's like, if he didn't lose that once to Lee, which was a, like, majority decision, then he would be on an 8-fight win streak. 8-fight win streak. You know what I mean? Like, he went up to the top. He climbed the ladder. He climbed the ladder. He beat Whitaker, which is who? He's the middleweight champ right now. Which is crazy. He beat him. You know what I mean? He beat Patrick Cote. He beat Jake Ellenberger. He beat Johnny Hendricks. He beat Rory McDonald. He beat George Masvidal. Like, he's beat all these guys. Are top competition. Like, this isn't easy competition that he's, got himself into. Like, let's be real here. His other loss, like, is Matt Brown, which was his second fight in the UFC. You're fighting Matt Brown, second fight in the UFC. Matt Brown's a killer. So, like, honestly, and it was unanimous decision. So there's no shame in that. It's all right. He was it's and it's good. He I think he got more experience from it, and he grew a lot because he went on a tear after that. Being Rory McDonald and then, getting the title shot and, going to a draw with Tyron Woodley. I know people didn't really like it, but remember, guys, the first one got fight of the night, so we can't bitch about it too much. I know the second one was super boring and stuff, but, like, Stephen Thompson's still a killer. Stephen Thompson's still A-list talent, triple A-list talent. So, like, he's prime. He looked good against Jorge Masvidal. He didn't put him away, but Jorge Masvidal is, he's a super tough opponent. He's gritty. He doesn't get put away easily. He's got tons of experience and tons of fights. And like, what can I say? Like, Wonderboy's young. He's 14-2, 7 knockouts, 1 submission, and 6 decisions. So he knows how to point fight because he's got that karate style. And if he aims it correctly, he can take you out. He can put you away. So he's dangerous. He's a dangerous fighter. Like, the only thing that sucks about him is he can be too patient at times. He can, like, do too much staring and waiting for counter-reacting to display his offense, which, it's a skill to display offensive karate offense like that, you know what I mean? But still not get hit. And he's still good at it, but it depends on how much risk he decides to take, which will also depend on the amount of risk Till decides to take. But I mean, like, oh, it's a tough fight because Till is just so unknown, right, guys? Like, think about it. Who did? Can you name two people that Till fought? Can you guys? Besides Cerrone? Oh, that's even tougher, right? That's even tougher. Well, you know what? Like, the first time I seen Till fight was against Bojan Velkovic, which, damn, that fight was a great fight. That could have been, because it showed the power that, it showed the power that Till had and showed the variety of striking that he could display. But Bohan of was, he got dropped a few times, but he got up and he was gritty and he brought the fight to him. Like, it was, he didn't get put away or anything like that. And like, he fought Cerrone. So think about this, guys. Cerrone, let's when did what at what point did Donald Cerrone fight Till? Donald Cerrone fought Till right after he fought Robbie Lawler. So, like, it's crazy the amount of. Okay, so yeah, okay, so Cowboy's actually. It's because he fights so much. I didn't realize he's actually been at welterweight for a while. He's actually been at welterweight for a decent time. Ever since 26, like, I mean, he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 fights since 2016. That's crazy. That's impressive. That really is. But he's losing his performance, his performance in fight of the nights. He hasn't had that many since his welterweight debut. He's only had, well, he's had 3 out of 8. So, and he's 5 for 8 of since he's been to welterweight. But he's mostly kind of fought guys that have been a little smaller, though his wins have been against guys that have been a little smaller. So his losses have been against guys that, have power and can really, like, put, like, just have really good striking and come on early. That's really what it is. When they bully him, that's what it is. So, Till, when, like, oh man, I can't, like, Till just got so much hype on that fight. And it was a UFC fight pass night. So not even that many people saw that. They just saw the highlight reel, unless they like went up and signed up for Fight Pass. But you know what? When I watched that fight, I knew from the start Donald was done. Like Donald didn't even want to be in there. He wasn't in, he was in Poland. Donald was like, you look like you didn't even he didn't look that good like physically. Darren just looked huge. He looked like he looked ready for it. He looked like he wanted to eat that Donald up, you know? But this is different, like, because Till hasn't fought since then. So he hasn't fought since October 2017. You know, it's been a little while. It's been like 8 months, 9 months since he's fought, you know? And I feel like the hype has went down a little bit. But I feel like, you know, he, like, there has been a lot of promotion for this upcoming event, like, coming on Sunday. And I feel like, there's a lot of speculation around what can happen, you know. No one really knows. People kind of have an idea, just like, you know, Conor versus Floyd, but you know, no one really knows. People kind of have an idea versus like, you know, like Francis Ngannou versus Miocic, but you're still not sure because it can go either way. You know what I mean? Like you can both see the possibility of Till winning this fight and Wonder Boy winning this fight. They're both very young. Like I know that Wonder Boy is, you know, he's very. I know he's older. I know he's a little bit. Well, he's actually much older than Till, because. You know, he's 35. Till's 35, but he's a young 30. I mean, Wonder Boy is 35, but he's a young 35. He's only 14 and 2, right? So, I mean, he's had a lot of karate experience outside that. But I think that this is meant for Till to win because they really want Till to be the next guy to fight, you know, Tyron Woodley. But like Thompson is so, I feel like he's just very, very quick, very experienced. Like Darren Till's Muay Thai, his British Muay Thai is very good. That straight left, very good. The elbows, dangerous. But Thompson's got that, his kicks, he's got those crazy, crazy kicks. Like he's got the accuracy, he's got the chin. So it's not going to be as easy as Till thinks. He's got the size. He's not a small guy. He's not an undersized guy like Cerrone was. So, I mean, like, who hits harder? Till hits harder with the straight left, I think. But Thompson's more accurate. And, like, they both leave their hands, like, you know, Till with his arms, you know, down and, you know, very up in the air, wide, you know, trying to, you know, like, kind of show his spread, like his, you know, size, you know. Like very wild with his striking Till is, and Thompson's just so quick. So it's gonna be such a good fight. Like I'm very, very curious. Like I'm so excited. My money is gonna be put on Stephen Thompson to win. I hope he wins, and I hope that he has a really good showing. I really hope that Darren Till kind of folds under the pressure, and that, you know, it doesn't really go his way, and he kind of gets TKO'd in one way or another because it's 5 rounds. He's never been 5 rounds. Thompson's been to 5 rounds many of times. Many of times. He's been to the 5 rounds one, two, three times. And he's been to, you know, he's been to the 15 minutes, you know, a few times too. And, you know, Till, on the other hand, he's a decision. He's had, he, can I say? He's had like his amateur career, a lot of knockouts, a lot of knockouts and stuff. But ever since he's, you know, came into that UFC, he's only had 4 fights and, you know, one draw and 2 decisions. So this will be interesting for sure. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm gonna go with Thompson on that. Oh, so stoked. Definitely promoting it. There's no shit talking or anything like that. I wish there was. I wish they were talking like Like Till says that he'll knock Thompson out in the second round, which that's pretty much all the talk that I know of that's they've been talking shit, and neither here nor there. I doubt it. I really doubt it. Like that would be a statement. If you do that, then you'd be knocking for the winner of that's the thing, because this winner might be second in line to fight for the title, if not fight. Who knows? You might even see this person fight the winner of Dos Anjos and Colby. Like, you never know. It's crazy. We'll see. But, like, if Till wins, I think if, I don't know. I don't know. That's going to be weird where this puts them. Because these are both high level. I know that they want Till in that kind of like top five. And he's, he only beat, Donald. So you can't put him like too high. But he's eight right now. So I know they want him closer up there. It'd be interesting. Maybe he'll fight Kamaru Usman. I don't know. The winner of this one will fight Kamaru Usman or the loser. I don't know. But a good fight will come from this for sure. But next is Neil Magny versus Craig White, what I was talking about earlier. Yeah, what can I say there? Neil Magny, when he's on and when he comes to show up, he's in, and he's a good fighter. But, he got wrecked by Dos Anjos. Dos Anjos just folded him like a lawn chair and just took him out with the, submission. Like, and the Carlos Condit fight was, it was all right. Like, it wasn't impressive. It was actually kind of boring in my opinion. So, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, the Craig White guy, no idea. So, we'll see. I'm excited to see what this kid's about, I'll probably go Magny because I'm not quite sure what Craig's about. Arnold Allen versus Mads Burrell. Mads Burrell, not quite sure, doesn't have a wiki link. Arnold Allen is, he fights at 145, he's 24 years old. He's had a decent career so far, 12 wins, one loss. Pretty well rounded, five knockouts, three submissions, and four decisions. But his last two wins were decisions against Makwan Amerikani and Yatuzin Meza. So and they were both in London, England as well. So this fight's in London, England. So that's crazy, crazy. Or not London, Liverpool, England. It's still in England though. So it's pretty cool that this kid's only fighting in England. Like, pretty lucky this kid. So I'll probably go Arnold Allen because I'm not quite sure about Mads Burnell. Can't really see his history there. I think I seen one of his fights on Fight Pass last night when they were like on the live stream there. I forget. I seen his name, but I can't remember the fight. I think it was kind of just a decision. But next, there's Jason Knight versus Makwan Amerikani, who we were just talking about. Jason Knight, 25 years old. He's BJJ. He's got some decent striking. He's featherweight. His record, 20 wins, four losses. He hasn't been too good since he, the last couple of fights. And, he fought so much in 2017. He had four fights in 2017, with two fights of the night. But, in his two early fights in 2017 was against Alex Caceres, submission, Chaz Kelly, TKO, both performance of the night, which, there's a little hype coming from that, right? Chaz Kelly, decent. He also beat Dan Hooker, decent. So he's got like a little bit of a name list coming, and then he ran into Ricardo Lamas and he just got dusted. I remember he just got wrecked there. Yeah, that was crazy, and that put him back because he wasn't quite like the same like with his. I feel like he was more hesitant when he was fighting Gabriel Benitez, and he lost the decision because of it. He wasn't very, he didn't seem like the threat like he was in that Chess Kelly or, Alex Caceres fight or anything like that. So, I mean, we'll see because, yeah, like Makwan Americani, 29 years old, Muay Thai fighter fighting out of SPG Ireland. Yeah, 13 wins, 3 losses. Last loss was against, or last fight was against Arnold Allen, and he did lose in a split decision. And then he won against Mike Winkinson in a decision in London as well. So this guy fights and only has fought in London as well. But this guy, I believe, has all those tattoos on them and all that stuff. Yeah, he's pretty sick. I remember him being a pretty good striker, for sure. And he's got some wrestling. He's on the, Finnish Wrestling Federation. Got the, you know, he's got some respectable accolades in the Finnish wrestling community. But yeah, no. So this is gonna be a good fight. I think that they're gonna push either or into a top 15 spot. Yeah, they're gonna. Yeah, I like top 15's pretty stacked up in featherweight, but with a good performance here from either or, there could be the possibility of an opening. I hope, personally, I hope Americani passes it because Jason Knight has had his shot. He did face Ricardo, and now, that was it. So he's gotta have at least this win and another win before he gets another shot at another top 15 or top 10, unless he finishes Americani in the first round or something impressively. But Americani, I think they're trying to push him into a slot. Yeah, Americani, ever he's pretty fresh in the UFC, only four fights and one, one TKO, one submission, two decisions. So they're both kind of in the same kind of limbo area, I would say Jason has fought harder competition, but this is a good test to see where Makwan is that. So that's that. And then Claudio Silva versus Nordin Taleb. So sick. I love Nordin. He's so powerful. So scary. Nordin Taleb, 36 years old, Tiger Muay Thai, brown belt in BJJ. Competes in the 170 welterweight division. His 14 wins, 4 losses, 7 by knockout, and 7 by decision. So, his last fight against Danny Roberts, he just mauled him with that head kick and elbow and punch. Like, he got him in 59 seconds, and that was scary. But he has lost against a few. Well, he lost against Ponzinibbio in a decision. He didn't get knocked out, so he also lost against Warley Alves, so that does suck to have that. But this is kind of a chance for Nordine to step it up a little bit with Claudio Silva, who, he's a black belt in BJJ under Ricardo Vieira. Yeah, he's 35. He's a little older, but he did win against Leon Edwards, who is, you guys know who Leon Edwards is. He's respectable. Yeah, no, Claudio Silva, even though he's older, he's really fresh, only 11-1, 2 wins in the UFC. This is against Brad Scott was the other one. So yeah, this is gonna be interesting. Yeah, I don't he hasn't fought since 2014, so oof, what can you say there? He hasn't fought in 4 years. I'm gonna go Nordine on this one. Yeah, it seems like Silva's been battling a lot of injuries and all that stuff. Since the Edwards, he had like a broken foot, and yeah, he's had some injuries, unfortunately. So this is gonna be interesting to see. Nordine's no joke, so I'm gonna go with Nordine because he's Canadian too. So I'm kind of biased in that. Eric Spicely, 31 years old, black belt, BJJ. Yeah, he's got a nice record of 11 and 3, two losses, where his last most recent fights, he did get body kick KO'd against Gerald Merchart, in 2017, last year. And he did lose against Antonio Carlos Jr. Shoeface, in Brazil. He lost against, yeah, that was a rear naked choke. But he did win against Santos. Thiago Santos, he submitted him, and Chichiro, he submitted him as well. So, Darren Stewart's kind of like that young up and comer. The thing is, he's seven, he came into the UFC 7-0, and he had, I don't know. He had an uncontested fight in his first fight in the UFC over some crazy headbutt incident, and then he had three losses, and he's still around. So, because he maybe it's because he had one fight of the night. It was against Julian Marquez, but he did get submitted in both of his fights, and then one decision, loss against Barroso. So yeah, I mean, he hasn't won since he's been in the UFC so far. Eric Spicely is kind of looks like, he's off two losses too. So both guys, are on the losing streak. Someone's gonna get the L here. I'm probably thinking, Darren Stewart because he's younger. Yeah, just younger in his hometown. Well, not in his hometown, but he's British, so who knows? He might have some support there. And then on the prelims, Dan Kelly, Tom Barise. Yeah, Dan Kelly. What can you say there, Dan Kelly? Dad bod, Dan Kelly. He's getting old, 40 years old. Damn, dude. Fourth degree black belt, or fourth degree black belt in judo, and he's a black belt in BJJ as well. So I mean, he's lost his last loss against Elias Theodoro, in a decision. Which was a good fight, which, he was trying to pressure, but Elias just solved the riddle. He just knew him. And he lost against Derek Brunson when he had that, he had a win over Rashad Evans, and that boosted him to get that Derek Brunson fight, which he lost in a KO punch. But other than that, his record's not bad. I mean, it's 13-3, so. And he's fighting Tom Barise, which, he's 10-0. But his last fight was a loss over Sean Strickland in a split decision. So don't know. Tom Breese is 26. He's a brown belt in BJJ. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've seen him fight. I can't remember him. So we'll see. Yeah, I personally I'll go with Dan Kelly, but Tom Breese could pull the dub. Brad Scott versus Carlos Pirtles Jr. Yeah, that's gonna be a fight. I'm not quite sure of the other guy, Mr. Carlos Pirtles Jr. Persaldi Jr. Because his I don't have a wiki link here, but Brad Scott, yeah, 28 years old. Fights out of the MMA lab. Yeah, he's kind of. What can I say? 11 wins, 5 losses. He's been hopping between, win loss, win loss, win loss. He's lost against Whitaker, Silva, Claudio Silva, Christoph Jocko, and Jack Hermanson. So I mean, he did have a win over Scott Askren, which is decent, and Dylan Andrews and Michael Cooper. But yeah, we'll see here. He's kind of, he's got a little bit of a threat with his power there. So I don't know the other guy much at all. So we'll see. I'll probably go Brad Scott. Then Gina Manzi versus Lena Landsberg. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Lena Landsberg because she's proven, Muay Thai. Like, she's fought Chris Cyborg. She's tough. She's a good striker for sure. I know she loves to get to Aspen Ladd, but Aspen Ladd kind of just sat on her, and that's Lena's kryptonite. So Gina McMahon is a not quite sure, not too familiar, to be honest. We'll see. Gillian Robinson. Oh, I think she was the girl on on the latest Tough, versus Molly McCain, which I'm not quite sure. Jillian's tough though. Jillian's a good striker. She's a good fighter. Very young in her career, so I'll probably go her. I'm sure Molly's super young in her career too. I'm excited to see her too. So, Elias Theodoro versus Trevor Smith on the UFC Fight Pass. I'm going. Oof, they're saving that main event, for the main event Fight Pass, right? Elias coming in with the win over Dan Kelly. He's 14 wins, 2 losses, purple belt in BJJ, and he's a dark blue belt in Muay Thai. He's 29 years old, and he's tall, he's rangy, he's a good kicker. He did lose against Brad Tavares and Thiago Santos, but they were by decisions. And Trevor Smith, on the other hand, 37 years old, a little older. He's a wrestler, but he also has some BJJ. He's 15 wins, 7 losses, and he's coming off a win over Chris Camozzi. So, I mean, that fight's going to be interesting. I hope he did win against Dan Miller as well. So, yeah, he's had some rough losses against John Vion Vivalante and Tim Kennedy and Ed Herman and Andrew Sanchez and Talis Latis and stuff, but I think I definitely think that Elias is gonna win by decision on this one, guys. I think he's gonna kill it. He's a good fighter. Even he's probably the only fighter that I love watching just point fight the fuck out of these guys. Like, honestly, I mean, it's good. Like, I like Elias a lot. I listen to his podcast. He's a good guy. Hope to meet him someday. Hope to meet a lot of these fighters someday. I hope to have some of these fighters on my podcast someday. Yeah, so Fight Pass prelim started 10, prelim started 11, main card at 1. I'm gonna squeeze in these current headlines real quickly before I let you guys go. Ian McCall retired. Verdum gets a potential USADA violation. Ariel gets a new ESPN deal and hosts a podcast with Chael Sonnen called Ariel and the Bad Guy. And Nunes and Pennington went under 100,000 buys for 224 at 84 or 85,000 buys is about the estimate. And Brian Stann leads the competition rules and committee at PFL, which is a new organization, which is interesting because we all thought he was too busy with his other new job. But interesting, here we go to this new MMA organization. The Bipolar Rocker and Roller by Mauro Ranallo is this weekend, and it should be airing live, or not live, but should be airing on Showtime and HBO, I believe, and it should be here in Canada too. So check your local listings on that. Paul Daly signed with Ali Belhadjzy. He's got 2 fights left on his contract, and hopefully he can get something going with anyone. I hope that Ali can do him some good. Mr. Big Brown Breakdown, Brandon Schaub, says that Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua might have a date set on November 11th in Las Vegas. Joshua has to make 50 million, but they're going to make more money per seat in Las Vegas versus the Wembley Arena. So it should happen on American soil. So, awesome. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope that everyone enjoyed this, and I will get back to you guys with the post fight. I'm excited. So thank you very much. I hope you guys enjoy your weekend, enjoy the fights, and have a great day. Peace.